Episode 31, an interview with Big Irv. This episode of Marceline High School Memories is being recorded in the studios of KDWD Radio in Marceline. Our guest is the owner and manager of KDWD, Aaron Irvy, better known to Marceline residents and alumni as Big Irv. Irv has been involved with Marceline Athletics in one way or another for over 40 years, but he's best known as the radio announcer for Marceline Games, the voice of the Tigers. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks, Tom. Should I call you Mr. Hauser? That's what I addressed you as a teacher years ago. But yeah, I guess that's been a few years ago now, hasn't it?
That's been a few. That was in freshman English. That's right.
Freshman English. And it doesn't, you said 40 years plus, and that kind of hit me right there. that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well,
let's start by talking about how you got into radio announcing, because I know you did that when you were still in high school.
Yeah, I think my first actual broadcast on a radio station was when I did the Marceline High School News for, back then, KGHM 1470 AM in Brookfield. And that was back in the 70s. I think I did it a couple of times my junior year, maybe, in high school. That was the first time it actually was broadcast on the airwaves. Now, I pretended like I was a radio announcer for many years in my bedroom with a mock radio station. That went about as far as hearing it, my mom and my sister, hearing it through the house. But that was the first experience, and it was a few years after high school before I actually broadcast games on the Brookfield radio station back in 1985. 1985 was my first experience as actually working for a radio station.
Okay. Now, before we get to that, I do want to ask you one question about your time in high school at Marceline. In 1979, you were the manager for the football team that went to the Show Me Bowl in St. Louis.
Right.
And what I wanted to ask you was whether you got to ride the chartered bus to St. Louis or whether you had to ride in the equipment bus that I drove.
I was on the equipment bus with you. Yeah, you were driving the equipment bus with the managers. I remember. I think it was mostly us managers that were riding on the equipment bus. Well, we had a good time on the trip down there. Yeah, it wasn't the luxurious, the bus that the football players and coaches got to ride on. But I think the fun part was we knew we were going to watch a state championship game, and it was the first ever Show Me Bowl. We didn't mind. We didn't mind.
It was a great experience being down on the field at, I guess, what was the old Bush Stadium.
The old artificial turf, first time I'd ever set foot on a artificial turf stadium field. And I can remember it felt a lot harder. The surface, I thought, was harder than I had imagined it would be. And it was kind of a neat experience. But, after standing on that, I thought, later on, I thought, that had to hurt to fall on that over and over again. And I think it probably turned out that way. But yeah.
So if you started doing games in 85, did you do the 86 championship game?
I did. I broadcast from Arrowhead Stadium. Tom Beaver and I broadcast that game from Arrowhead, and that was a fun experience. That was the second year that I did play-by-play for KZBK in Brookfield. And most of our games, because Brookfield games took precedence on Friday night of being the live game, because they were the local team, and we understood that. Most of our games were tape delay. Sometimes they were broadcast Friday night, sometimes Saturday morning, depending on the distance from the radio station. But that was a live game. That was the state playoffs in 86 were all broadcast on the radio live. So that was, the first experience. That was intimidating, really. The first chance to go broadcast at a major stadium like that and be, ushered around into places that you never thought you'd ever see. But that was a lot of fun, and, we won the state championship in 1986, and I thought, well, that's going to be the first of many state championships. Well, turns out, so far, that's the only one we've won. Now, I've broadcast other state championship games. We didn't have the positive results of like we did that day.
Right.
Not that in 1986, yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that had to do with matchups against some of the private schools.
Yeah.
But yeah, now in the 80s, you also had another aspect of being involved in sports. You had a time as a softball official.
I was spent several stints in different types of softball. I was I umpired slow pitch softball, men's slow pitch softball for many years for around the area. In high school, I was a Misha umpire for several years. Then I got out of it. Then I got back into it again, and now I'm back out of it. So I did for several years, several levels of baseball, summer league baseball, softball. And like I said, I umpired men's slow pitch softball for many years, especially in the Brookfield League. And then high school softball, I would say, high school girls softball, fast pitch softball is probably it's probably more enjoyable to work those games because of the speed of the game. I think, slow pitch softball is one thing, but girls fast pitch softball, I think is a special game, and it's a lot of fun. And of course, now I've had a chance to broadcast state championship games. We've had fast forward to recent times. I've broadcast two state championship winning teams in Marceline and one that finished third here a few years ago. So that's been a fun time. Never thought I'd ever have a chance at that.
So in the last several years, you've done pretty much all of the games. So I imagine you've visited some places where the facilities are not maybe top notch.
Yeah, there have been, and that varies upon what the sport we're talking about here. A lot of times in softball, you don't really broadcast from a press box, even in baseball, the same way. You may be broadcasting from the first base or third base fence area by the dugout. Or you may actually, be behind home plate, behind the fence. Most of the stadiums or the parks we're in these days don't seem to have a press box for baseball or softball. We're lucky here at Marceline, we do have a small one. Some places you're kind of at the mercy of the weather. When the rain's threatening and you've got electronic equipment on the table, you're looking for, trash bags or plastic wrap to put over the top of your equipment. So, yeah, it varies. And over the years, football, I have to say there's been some, I don't know if I really want to give names of schools, although one of them is not one we play anymore, but their facilities were not very good, and the press box was cramped, and it was almost better to be in the bleachers, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And talking about experiences, I think one of the odd experiences I had was several years ago in Paris. This was before we had radio broadcasts. We were doing, it was back in the days where Mac and I, Brian McLaughlin and I, were broadcasting internet via the internet. We were doing internet broadcasts of sporting events for the high school here. We weren't on the radio yet. But Paris High School informed us that, no, they did not have a spot in the press box for us, and we'd have to figure out where we were going to broadcast from. Well, we decided that it was going to be out of the back of a pickup truck, and it was on behind the Marceline bench at Paris. And this has been back in about probably 2008 or 9, something like that, I would guess, somewhere in one of those years. And so I borrowed a friend that was going to the game anyway. He says, we'll take my truck, and we'll back the truck up to the back behind the bench area for Marceline. And I don't know how many folks out there listening would remember how the Paris field is configured, but it was, on the visiting side. And we had to broadcast via marine battery. We hooked a computer up to a marine battery and found a data stream somehow and got the game live on the internet, broadcasting from the back of a pickup truck with a canopy over the top of. Actually, Mac wasn't there that night. He somehow vanished. He was hard to find that night. He didn't do that game. But the stat man, as we called him, and I did that game out of the back of a truck in Paris. So that's a strange experience right there, let me tell you.
Did you ever get heckled by the local fans?
I don't remember. I think the only time, it wasn't really heckling, I guess, but there was a night a few years ago in Milan that we broadcast a game. It was a very heated game, and it came down to the end. And I think, right now I cannot remember who. I think Marceline may have lost that game to Milan that night. But there was a little exchange at midfield. The Marceline coach and the Milan coach had a little bit of an argument that night, and there was some things that had gone on. Some questionable calls kind of got everybody's ire up a little bit. And as we're leaving the game, we got a lot of vicious-looking stares because, you know, we were wearing our Marceline black and gold with our M on our hat. It wasn't the Milan M. It was a Marceline M. And it was a time there was three of us walking out of there, and we're walking back to the car, and there was no one looking at us with any kind of a smile on their face from Milan. But we understood. They probably thought we were part of the coaching staff. They really didn't know we were the radio guys. So it was a little bit tense, but, I mean, nothing was said. It was just that kind of that look you got when you're walking out of there. You're like, I don't think I want to say anything or say hi to anyone as I'm walking out. Yeah. But it was a heated game, and it was a tough one. But that was probably, I don't know, you know, like you said, heckle. I don't know that I've ever been heckled by any. Other than maybe once in a while you'd have a fan, you know, look up in the booth and say hi to you or something like that. That's about as far as that went. So,
do you have any particular memories of either football or basketball or softball, things that really stand out in your memory as excitement? I remember for me the Cliff Dennis field goal is one moment that I'll always remember. Do you have something like that?
Well, you know, from pre-broadcast days, I mean, I guess that would have been, I'm trying to think of the year on that. We probably did broadcast. That's probably 87, maybe 86, or maybe this 86. I can't remember. That'd be maybe the 87 season started. I know it was North Shelby kicked the winning field goal.
Right.
That was a good game. I remember it sticks out in my mind the 88 game at Hamilton Penny High School. That was a game that Marceline led. We blew the lead. The game was tied. We went to overtime, one of the few times we've had an overtime game, and that was the night that we had fallen behind. It was fourth and goal at the 10-yard line, because back then the overtime rule was you started at the 10, and you had four downs to get in. Well, Penny Hamilton at the time scored on their possession, and they took the lead. They missed the extra point. So Marceline got possession. And that was when Brad Kavanaugh was quarterback. I think we threw three passes. So we threw three incomplete passes. So here it was, fourth down. We've got to score on this down or it's over. So that was the night that Brad threw a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone to Chester Solario. It looked for everything like he'd thrown it too high and it was going to go out of the back of the end zone. Well, here's Chester, reaches up, catches the ball, comes down with it, touchdown. We've tied the game. Now we've got to kick the extra point to win it. And that was the story, and I'll get it wrong, but that was the night that we had forgotten the tee. So someone formed a block of wood with sandpaper somehow. That was the night that Randy Burris kicked one of his few extra points that he kicked, but he knocked it through that night, and we won the game 35-34. And I remember that, I think, because, you know, as a Tiger fan, you know, obviously, and doing the game on the radio at the same time, we got to hear a lot of talk from below us, because there was two decks of that press box in Hamilton. Well, there, a lot of the talk below us was how the game was over. It's 4th and 10, game's over, we've got it won, they're hooping and hollering. And then the silence I heard when the touchdown pass was thrown, and then when the extra point went through, you heard a lot of yelling, but it was from the Tiger fans, but none of the press box personnel were making any noise after that. So that was kind of a fun memory. What a memory that was. And of course the state championship game in 86 really wasn't in doubt. I mean, Marceline pretty much dominated. The score was 20-0, but it was full domination. That was fun. You know, there have been games in recent years that have been fun games. I guess probably for those folks will remember the Haytie game here that propelled us, you know, into winning and going to a state championship game, not this last year, but previous year, a field goal with no time left, and we win at 31-30 over a heavily favored, I thought, Haytie team, came up here from way down in South Missouri, and we came up with a win and went on to play in the state championship game. That was a classic game right there. The 2-0 Bell game back in the day, you know, that was an exciting win, things like that. There's a lot of memories. But.
Yeah, and recently the softball, I think those must stand out in your memory.
Yeah, as far as softball goes, those state championships the last 2 years, and you know, being contested games, and in the games leading up to the, you know, the semifinal games were nail biters too, and then you know these young ladies that play here at Marceline, the clutch hitting that they had, the pitching, fielding, whatever it was, you just knew somehow they'd find a way, and it seemed like the last 2 years they found a way to get it done, and they won the state championships, and you know, that's something, you know, not many schools out there can say they won back-to-back state championships in any sport,
right?
Much less, you know, softball. Mm-hmm. It was quite an achievement.
Right. So I wanted to ask you how things have changed for you in the last 4 years since now you're the boss.
Yeah, I, you know, back in, 2019, I, you know, had a chance to... I think the thing was, back then, the previous owner of the radio station had come to the point where he was wanting to either sell or he was going to close. So, you know, my wife at the time and I, we talked about it. We thought, you know, how can we, you know, this, we really need to find a way to do this. And he said, well, I will, you know, he gave us a price, what he would take for it. We said, well, we're going to do it. So we went ahead and splurged and bought the business. And really with a radio station, you're not necessarily, you know, you're not buying a building. You're buying, you know, you're buying the transmitter and some equipment, but the license, and, you know, then you've got the responsibility to uphold that license, because it's not, you know, you don't take it lightly. It's something that's very, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that, and it's a process. It's not like buying a house or a car. I mean, it's even more complicated because you have to go through approval processes through the FCC, and it takes a while, and so, but we finally got it done, and, you know, my wife and I, we bought the place, and, you know, about a year later, she passed away, so that left me to run this station then, and so, it's been an adventure. I haven't, but there's a lot of reward, you know, it's rewarding, too, because you get a lot of people, you know, I have people, it's almost overwhelming at times, that people come up to me and, you know, say, thank you so much for broadcasting the games. We're so glad that you're doing that. We're glad that you're doing a live morning show. You've got, you know, keep us informed. We have a small local radio station. You can't have a big staff. You know, it's not feasible to do it. So you try to run everything with a small staff, and the people we have here do a great job. And we have people that work part-time for us that do stuff. But it's without the support of community advertisers and all the people that listen, it doesn't work. And local radio is kind of a lost art these days. So it's kind of fun to be able to do what we do and what I do, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say that I really appreciate all that you've meant to Marceline, especially Marceline Athletics over the years. You've been kind of a constant for quite a long time, you know, and... I'm not a constant anymore, so, but you are.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm still trying.
And we appreciate that, and I want to thank you for sitting down with us and recording this episode. Thank you.
Tom, maybe we'll do a part 2 someday.
We will.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.